you're able to understand the theme. We're really focusing in on God's grace for the month. And this is not just for the month of November. This is a continual thought process and understanding through life. We're just taking November to talk about God's grace more and more. So what we've done here is we've taken God's grace. It's from God. It comes down to me, and we need to fully be able to understand how wonderful God's grace truly is, and the close connection that forgiveness and grace have with one another, and how we can properly define grace from the Scriptures. It's God's mercy, His love, His kindness, and what is drawn by God's grace is a contrite heart, a heart that is guilt-ridden, and God is drawn to that person to relieve them of their symptoms. He wants to relieve us of our former way of life, our guilt-ridden attitude that we may have towards ourselves. God wants us to relieve us of that and live in light of His grace. So from God to me, and now we extend it forth. This is to others. This goes to other individuals. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And I want to hone in on two words that seem insignificant, but they're very profound when discussing God's forgiveness. Mark 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your trespasses in heaven may also forgive you, so your heavenly Father may also forgive you your trespasses. So this is very profound, is it not? We have to forgive anyone, anything. Now, who is the anyone in this context? Anyone means just that. Anyone. This is not just for loved ones. This is not just for our boss. This is not just for our authoritative figures. This is not just for our friends. But this is towards those who are unfriendly, the unloved, those we don't have to give an answer to, or who don't write our paychecks. Those are the ones that we have to extend forgiveness to. So this is for the angry. This is for the hateful. We render our forgiveness and extend it forth to anyone and anything. So what does anything include? This is just not just minor infractions or hiccups or what we call accidents. This is the stuff that really turns your stomach, that makes you cringe, that makes you bite your lip and clench your fist. This is the stuff that really hurts. It's the stuff that makes your heart drop. Forgiveness is for anyone about anything. That brings me to my next point. Forgiveness is not for the faint of heart. It's not easy. It might be easy to talk about. It might be easy to read. It might be easy to give sermons or lessons on. But to actually extend this towards other people when they hurt us, when we're scarred, it's tough. It's not for the weak. It's not for the faint of heart. Forgiveness is hard. Look at the two passages of Scripture that talk about just how hard this is. So before we actually turn to Matthew 5 and Romans 12, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And I actually wish I had this on the PowerPoint, but I don't. In discussing how hard forgiveness is, look at Matthew chapter 9. Look what Jesus says here. Verse 1, Matthew 9, verse 1. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once one of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." Verse 4, but Jesus said, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" Verse 5 is what I want you to hone in on. "For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk?" So the idea is that it's easier to say your sins are forgiven you from a human standpoint, because we can't verify it or confirm it. But it has to come from a divine authority. Now, to say to someone arise and walk is going to be much more challenging, right? But is that always the case? When someone hurts you, or someone's provoking you to wrath and anger, let's say someone is picking a fight with you, or someone's just stirring you up, doesn't it seem like it'd be easier to walk on water than walk away from them and not return or retaliate? Doesn't it seem at times it's a lot easier to feed 5,000 people than it would be to feed one person or take them out to lunch who's hurt you or has crossed you? Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is not for the faint of heart. It's tough business. When we talk about forgiveness, this is stuff that is difficult. And let us not forget where we get this idea that you must forgive and you must extend God's grace and His love towards other individuals. We love to quote those passages of Scripture that say, "Love God and love your neighbor as yourself." But do you know where that Scripture is adopted from, where it originally started? Leviticus 19:18 actually says this, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So when we quote that passage in the New Testament, let us not forget that it comes right on the heels of God telling us not to take vengeance or have a grudge towards other people. Why? Because God knew how hard forgiveness would be. Forgiveness is hard. It's tough. Matthew chapter 5 now. Matthew chapter 5, the text that we have on our screen. This is the two areas I want you to think about. Jesus actually says this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 39 through 41. He says the same thing in three different ways. "But I tell you, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other also to him. If anyone wants to sue you, let him take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." The reason why Jesus is saying this is because it's easy to react to someone who hurts us and to render to them in kind what they do to us. It's easy to respond to them. If someone slaps you on one cheek, what's the first response? What's the natural feelings for us? Defend yourself. If someone steals from you, what's the first thing you want to do, man? You want to take that right back from them. If someone asks you to do something for them, that's as far as you're going. You're not going 2 miles. Forgiveness is hard. Turn your Bibles to Romans 12 now. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, and let's look at verses, what do I have on there? 17 through 19, 19 through 21. So we'll begin in verse 17. "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head." And here it is, verse 21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Overcoming evil is not an easy task for us. We have to be prepared, aware, be sober-minded, and try to promote good in life. Evil's going to be expected. Persecution and hardships are everywhere in our world. We're going to run across them. So it's expected in our life. But what do we typically do when someone harms us? If another person, a coworker, standing by, and I'm sure I've worked in factories before. I've worked in warehouses, especially when I was younger. I've worked with secular and worldly people. If somebody says something about you, or they harm you, or they hurt you in any way, what does someone else in the background usually respond or say in the background? They say, are you going to let him get by with that? Are you going to let that person say that stuff to you? Are you going to let him get away with that? Yeah. Why? Forgiveness is tough. Would you say that Jesus was a wimp? Would you say that the Apostle Paul was a pushover? Extending God's forgiveness to others, extending forgiveness to those who have hurt us, is not for the weak. It's for the tough. Why? Forgiveness is hard. It's hard. Talk the talk and walk the walk. We know that the scriptures teach us that we cannot receive God's forgiveness unless we are willing to forgive others. I love James chapter 2 and in verse 13 that teaches us that mercy triumphs over judgment. It's a good reminder for me when I start casting judgment on people or I feel like I want to retaliate or I want to respond to whatever's being said or whatever's being done to me or family members. And I have to remind myself, mercy always triumphs over judgment because that's how I want God to treat me. And if we want to be imitators of God, just like Ephesians 4:32 through 5:2 tells us, we have to be forgiving and tenderhearted. We must extend it to others. We must walk in love as Christ gave himself for us, a sweet-smelling aroma to God. That's Ephesians 4:32 through 5:2. And he says, imitate God. Be imitators of him. So if we want to follow in God's footsteps and we want God's forgiveness, we must be imitators of Jesus. And this is not an easy task. Again, forgiveness is hard. It's tough business. And it's going to take great effort on our part. And we're going to have to do things that make us uncomfortable. We're going to have to enter into territory that's unfamiliar to us. And Matthew chapter 18 is a great place that indicates to us just how difficult this can be. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. So we know the steps here. Verse 15 of Matthew 18. Verse 15 of Matthew 18. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, what are you to do? Talk about him behind his back and tell everybody how bad, right? No. What are you to do? You go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You go alone. That's already stepping out of your comfort zone, right? Now you're already entering into unfamiliar and uncharted waters. Because that's not natural. For some, it may be easier, but for others, that's tough. Why? Because forgiveness is hard work. It's going to take a lot of effort on our part. And we know the rest of it. If he hears you, here's the positive. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he doesn't hear you, now you have to take witnesses, and then you end up having to take it to the leaders and the church itself, and you have to get to a point where in hopes that this person will agree with you. And that's the idea. That's the goal for us. So let's begin in verse 18, Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And here it is, verse 19 and 20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together. Those are the two words I want you to focus in on. Agree and gathered. I got my laser pointer here. So yeah, agree and gathered. This word agree, if you look it up in the Greek text, what this actually means is to sound together. And it's kind of interesting because it's only referred to or it's only used in the context of talking about musical instruments. And it's where we get our English word symphony. So the idea is this: if we want to have a symphony, we have to achieve harmony with one another by using our words, by sounding them out together. So Jesus says, if there's an offense, if there's a conflict with anyone, then you must talk it out. Go and talk to them. Create harmony with them. Make music together with your words so you can be in agreement with one another. Talk with each other, not about each other. That's what Jesus wants us to do if we truly care about God's forgiveness. We talk with one another and we walk with one another. This word for gathered in verse 20 means to go together. So two or three are in agreement and now they're here able to go together with one another. So if we have a conflict or a disagreement with anyone, we talk it out so we can get to a point that we can actually walk together, live in harmony with one another. And if we live in harmony with each other, now we can talk and walk and do the work of the church together. That's having unity and oneness. And that's how a church survives through discord and dissensions and problems within the congregation. You talk it out. You're transparent. You communicate with one another. And then we don't just ignore issues, but we reach a point that we settle problems. We have agreement by talking to one another so we can walk with each other. And once that's accomplished and once the problem's solved, it's over. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. This is how God treats us in forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 10. In discussing the new covenant, verse 16, this is the new covenant of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the new covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Verse 17, this is what I want you to think about. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That word for remember actually means not to bring to remembrance. So once the problem's solved, once it's talked about, and once you're able to agree and be gathered together and walk in harmony with one another, don't bring it up again. Don't bring the offense back up. Why? Because it's settled. It doesn't mean that you're going to forget about it. It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to eradicate it from your mind. But it just means you're not going to bring it to the forefront anymore. You're not going to bring it up. You let it go. And that's how God forgives us. So God's principle for solving issues and extending forgiveness, talk it out, walk together, and work as one. That's God's forgiveness. From Him to me to you. Tonight, are you living in light of God's forgiveness? When you talk about His forgiveness, you have to talk about His grace. And God has given us grace. He's given us grace through the sacrifice of His Son. That's God moving on our behalf, doing something that we weren't able to do by ourselves. God wants us to get to a point that we're in submission, we're yielding to Him. We give Him our broken lives, and He mends us back together. That journey starts in baptism, where He removes sins. He casts them far away from you, never to bring them back up in front of you again. So when we bring it back up, God says, get rid of that. That's not who you are anymore. I've made you worthy through the sacrifice of my Son. Don't call yourself a loser anymore. You are somebody because His Son is someone who saved you. But maybe you're at a point that you've done all that, you followed the plan of redemption, you've been in church your whole life, and you've done the whole church experience, you're seasoned. But times are tough, right? Things are hard. We can listen to people or we can watch things and we can start to believe the stuff that we see and hear on the radio or on the television or maybe by our neighbors that aren't true. Maybe we have thoughts and things seep into our lives that have caused us to be depressed. Stop listening to that voice. Listen to what God says. You're forgiven. You're a new creation. You're a new person. Change your way of thinking. If you need any help tonight, if you just need prayers, if you need any assistance, let us be of assistance to you. And you have this opportunity to come forward as we stand and we sing.